Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to a preseason episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. As always, I am your host, Adam, and I am joined, as always, by Avery's dad, who doesn't like me very much, but your favorite co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. Mr. Boucher, how you doing?
100 days till Christmas.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that. Sorry to bring everyone down.
Maybe we'll have Santa on the show again this year.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Maybe he'll bring us... Well, he brought us COVID last year. We asked for a Memorial Cup, and he brought us COVID.
Yeah, that didn't go over. Yeah, that is true.
I just remembered that, didn't I?
Yeah, I completely forgot what we asked for.
Santa brought us a global pandemic instead of a Memorial Cup.
So maybe we must be
getting coal. Like, we're clearly not on the good list.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. How are things? You caught up on all the new shows coming out? I saw Masked Singer at a preview. I haven't watched it yet, but...
I didn't catch the preview. No. Just mostly costume reveals and... you know, some clues, but all caught up on Big Brother. My Big Brother's doing pretty good.
So I don't know who's left. I can't remember if I asked you who was going to win, but is the guy you wanted to win still there? Justin Hadley asked me on social media on when we were asking for a quick question who you thought was going to win.
Cody, I think, has got a good shot. I'd said Cody, Nicole Franzel, or Ian. I think we might see Ian go home this week. But I think Cody and Nicole are in a good spot. They're in an alliance of six called the committee. But I think they're in a good spot. I don't think they're going to go far in the game. I don't know if they'll win, but they're in a good spot right now.
If you disagree with Jeremy, hit him up on Twitter and let him know that you disagree with him, or if you agree with him. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Moncton Wildcast, Instagram Wildcast Podcast, and website wildcastpodcast.wixsite.com. Got a jam-packed show, so let's get to it. I asked the fans for a quick question on Instagram, and we got a lot of good ones. We're going to go with Riley21 McKenzie. Do you think the Cats will start the season with three or two goalies? If they do, what are some advantages, disadvantages to having the two or three goaltenders? I mean, obviously the big one is if you got three, you're one injury away from being in trouble. Now, this whole can't use... recall players, or that wouldn't affect once the actual season gets started. If Sheehan's on the roster, he can play if something goes wrong, right?
As far as I know,
didn't play the last game because of this rule. The Sherbrooke game was canceled because of this rule. So obviously the advantage of it is, you know, you're one injury away. The biggest disadvantage of having three is one guy's not getting a lot of action. You know, obviously if they go with three, you've got DLC, you've got the big Valboski, and you've got Sheehan. Likely Sheehan would be the guy that would be up in the press box, but is that really good for his development? So, but DLC is a 20-year-old. Now you're going to have four 20-year-olds playing or on the roster, and you can only have three. So I think they'll take two. I think it'll be DLC and the big Valboski.
The only situation with that is in order for Usnik to play that first game, he's literally going to have to be in Moncton by Thursday because he's going to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks is October 1st, and then the season opener is October the 2nd. You're not going to have a guy fly into town, quarantine for 2 weeks, and then put him on the ice the next day.
No, you're right? Really not.
Unless, hey, maybe you do, and then Lund Cornish starts the first two games. But then... what are you going to do with this 20-year-old situation? Because you're going to have Hudson, you're going to have DeJong, you're going to have Forche,
yep,
and you're going to have Lund Cornish.
Who's now quarantining right now. Forche,
yeah. Yep. So he's going to be ready for the season opener.
Yep.
But what am I thinking here? So if you rotate your three 20-year-olds, or if you carry four 20-year-olds on your roster,
yep,
and you keep rotating them, you burn a player contract. So... it has its advantages to Moncton to have four, but it also doesn't, right?
Cause you're, yeah.
So I really don't know how they're going to handle it.
Unless they come out before the season and say the CHL is going with four 20-year-olds.
That would be
problem
ideal.
Solved, and we, you know.
That would be ideal.
We win. I don't see that happening. I think if they're going 420-year-olds, we'd know by now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the other two leagues aren't starting, so maybe they can afford to wait till up until closer to the start of the season. But
I really don't know how they're going to handle it. I don't know. Like I said, Lucenik has to be here by Thursday in order him to finish his quarantine and be ready to go on October 2nd. So that's maybe something magical happens today or tomorrow. Maybe he's on a plane right now, for all we know.
If you're listening and you're on a plane, let us know.
Yeah. If you are currently flying from Slovenia to Toronto.
Yeah, to Moncton.
And there is a guy with hockey bags and pads. Yeah. Please DM at Moncton Wildcast on Twitter.
Yeah. So we can break the news and give you a massive shout out because you found that out. But they're going with three, right? Like, because they just don't have the Usenik situation figured out, and it's likely not going to be.
Well, there's three on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Right? You got Usenik's going to wear 31, Sheehan's going to wear 35, and Len Cornish is going to wear number one. Also, shout out to Maxim Barbashev, who currently is number 99.
That's some kind of flex if he's wearing 99. I looked at that when you showed me.
It is still showing 99.
Yeah, I looked at that and I'm like.
Well, I scrolled past it first because all the other players are show 999.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, is that an actual number? Because that's a heck of a flex. Or is that an accident and they don't know what he's going to wear, so they just put him at 99?
I would love it. Like,
oh, yeah.
But what are the fans in other cities going to be? Oh, this guy, you know, they're going to obviously think he's got an ego.
I mean, you're coming here as Barbashev's brother. There's the expectation there, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
Then you're going to wear 99. There's the expectation, rightly or wrongly, more so rightly, to wear that number. Like, yeah.
See, I don't know if it's true because when Richie was on our show last season or two seasons ago, he said he doesn't like high numbers and he doesn't like giving away new numbers. And the only reason why Hudson got 92 is because his jersey's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I just don't know if it's true. It could be just an error. Or maybe Barbashev was just like, I'm only coming to Moncton if I get 99.
Done.
Okay. I mean, sure. Okay. But yeah, definitely a huge flex if that is, in fact, his jersey number.
And 100% we will back you, dude. We will back it. We will love it. We will support it. So I think our general consensus, they're going three goalies because they got three on the roster and we don't know when Usenik is going to get here. And even when he gets here, he's going to have to quarantine and have some practice. And,
yeah.
You know, Bathurst is in the same spot with Bednar. They, I mean, their goaltending situation is much worse off without Bednar. Well,
they're an absolute nightmare if Bednar doesn't get here.
Exactly.
Like,
so they're kind of in the same situation. I think those are the only two teams with Euro goalies. Right?
Sherbrooke.
Yeah, Levi. But in the Maritime Division,
the
other ones are all situated. So yeah, thanks for the quick question. We'll
Man, these pants are tight. Oh, sorry.
And with that, we'll get into the weekly rewind.
Weekly rewind.
So, unfortunately, sadly, it was bound to happen. The Wildcats got their first loss Sunday against the Cape Breton Eagles, 7-4. I guess my first takeaway from this game, Moncton come out with a little bit of a bold strategy to not cover Element on three breakaway goals. I think that's a player you may want to cover. Obviously, some breakdowns there. You know, it's preseason, but it wasn't the strongest effort from Sheehan. He made some good saves. Three breakaways against a player like Element is tough for most goalies in this league, but I thought he looked a little shaky. He did battle against an Eagles squad, but for me, it was not his strongest effort, and I'm sure he would agree with that.
Yeah, but didn't Cape Breton, didn't Felix of France of the Eagles get like four goals or something against Moncton in a preseason game last year?
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, Element's a good player, but I'm not too worried. But of course they'd lose because we were also the ones last week who said they would never lose again.
Yeah.
So
spot on predictions.
Really have to stop jinxing this team.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come and bite us in the butt one of these times. I mean, it already has, but these games don't count, right? There's still an evaluation. It's still an evaluation process. But my God, if you read the message board after that game, you'd think we lost game 7 in the Memorial Cup.
I didn't read the message.
There's not even a game 7 in the Memorial Cup.
No.
Right? Like, it's Fiends are freaking out. They're like, oh, Tomasini didn't do anything. Why is he even here? He's taking a roster spot away from a local player. Holy dying. Like, it was his first game out of a 14-day quarantine.
And where does it say you need to carry local players?
Oh, my God.
I think I did see something. Like, you're putting the best 23 like, on the ice.
Like, they're like, why is there so many Ontario free agents when it could be local players? And I couldn't believe it. Like, and some guy was I literally want to read his exact words to a post here. So if you want to maybe chime in for a minute.
Yeah. I think the plan, if you know, I think the plan was to let Sheehan play the game. You know, but after, you know, 6 goals, young kid, get him out, let DLC come in. You know, we're kind of doing the other teams in the division. I thought Grimard looked pretty well. These were basically the rosters that these two teams are going to have. I know Cape Breton's is their roster. Moncton has maybe one or two more cuts left. Tomasini, yeah, he didn't have his legs. Understandable.
I think he played really great in the second and third period. Yeah. Like, I didn't see anything for me to literally come out and say that he doesn't deserve to be here. I think that's an absolute joke for someone to say that. This is a kid who put up respectable numbers, like really good numbers for a 17-year-old in a very competitive junior A league in Ontario.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, has he signed already? I don't know if he signed, but he's making the team. Like,
you're not bringing a kid here from Ontario, quarantine for 2 weeks to play 3 preseason games and then sending him home.
That's right. Like, and it's so I think it's so ridiculous for these people to be jumping down this team's throat already. This is a defensive shit show, was his exact words. Like, I mean, it's the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, give it up.
Who cares if this is a score in the regular season? This is year one.
Yeah.
Like, they showed a lot of heart. They came back. They were, down 4-2. They got it to 5-3. Like, they came back. They didn't stop fighting. You know, I thought Connor Richard played a good game. Yon Losheng is showing every reason why he was the 13th overall pick. Hudson did, you know, everything you ask him to do, goal, fight. So, like, it's 7-4 in the preseason. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Bathurst lost, 9-4 to Charlottetown? Like, something like that, 9-6, 9-4. Like, these are preseason scores.
I'm rattled. Like, I'm already fired up. Like, just move on. And yeah, I don't even want to talk about this game anymore. People stupid.
All right. I guess the big news from the Neil article is Gabe Forche was in town. He is quarantining. You know, Lalonde said out a tweet yesterday, I believe, that he's here till the AHL season starts in December. You know, I guess the 20-year-old situation is the elephant in the room is, would you move one of those guys now, even though Forche is gone? And if you do, who's the odd man out, right? You can never have enough defensemen. You're going to need strong goaltending. Forche, Hudson is the heart of the city team, everything you need, and Forche's the most value on the trade market. He's the biggest name, but you're going to need guys to score. So we love to play GM, so I'm turning this to you because it's too hard for me to answer. What do you do?
It's a good question.
If you got your Richie hat on, what do you do?
It's a good question. I really don't. I'm sure there's so many rules about this that we don't know right now because it's so, you know, this isolation quarantine thing is so mandatory. Like, you're not going to have Forche come to Moncton for 14 days in quarantine and then trade him to a Quebec team and then have to quarantine for another 14 days. That wouldn't make sense. And so it doesn't matter where if you move a player right now, they'd have to quarantine. Oh, obviously if they're going outside of the Maritime division.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just wouldn't make sense. I think Blainville is only carrying, 2 20-year-olds right now. Shawinigan's only carrying 2 20-year-olds right now. So there's spots open for these guys. I just don't know if it'd be the right thing to do.
And if you're playing, like if I'm Shawinigan and you're Moncton and you want to move Forche because he's, you know, the most value, it's got to be it's not going to be a lot because he might leave in December. It's got to be conditional picks, no?
I think if you move Forche, you move him, you go out and you get a fifth round pick.
Right.
And if he plays a full season, then 2 seconds.
Right.
Or a second and a third. Like the second and a third would be conditional on him playing the full season. But if he's only going to be here for 2 months, you can't ask for that much.
Because he's the high upside, but he might be gone in December, where if you move one of the other guys we talked about, they're likely here for the full year, so you can maybe get a little bit more for them, or comparable without a condition on it.
I don't think we'll see any moves. I think we're going to be, we'll just play it out with the four, with the four 20-year-olds for now. And if we have to burn a player card, then we burn a player card. Like, it's, I don't know if that rule is true or not.
Richie, if you want to reach out to us, let us know if that rule is true.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a tricky situation. It's great to have Forche back. But if, come on, if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
No, but I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, he's really going to help a young team. He's probably going to help us get a couple of wins too because of his experience. And
yeah.
He's going to play, you know, the top line, right? He's going to play with Yoshing and Dao, right? That's going to be the top line. That's a pretty good top line.
Yep.
Like, you put, you know, Loshing on the left side, Dao in the middle, and Forche on the right side. Hey, I'm fine with that as a top line.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. It's just going to be tough to replace him when he leaves, right? So it's just...
And he's the player that we're going to need all the wins we can get to stay out of that lottery, or have the least amount of lottery yards.
Yeah. Yards.
Yards. I was watching football all weekend. I'm thinking yards. Lottery odds, right?
Yeah. So... like we say every week, we're not the ones dealing with it. So however it gets handled, we totally respect that decision.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, camp's kind of stagnant right now. I mean, there's only one game a week at this point. So you know what? Let's get to view from the other bench.
View from the other bench.
So this week, we're looking at the third place team last year. Again, if you're new to the show, welcome. We're only playing Maritime teams this season, so we're going to go around the division in the preseason, get you caught up on what's going on in the division and what to expect from this season. So this week, we head across the bridge to preview the Charlottetown Islanders. They finished third last season, going 33-26-5. But it was a season with some challenges. You know, this team is a little bit in a weird time. It's the first year without Mr. Islander, Matt Welsh. I think that number will go up to the rafters in Charlottetown for sure, but it's a, you know, we kind of enjoy maybe not having to face Matt Welsh. But you know, the Islanders went out and made sure that they acquired a capable goaltender to help them lead. I mean, I ask you, man, is this the year for the Islanders?
I think so. They got to do something. This is, you know, it's, I think when Monken acquired Rodrigue at the draft, it got us excited. And then you saw the Islanders acquire Ellis, Corton Ellis, and I think that makes their fans excited because they kind of, you know, they can see which direction the team wants to go this year because Corton Ellis is going to be one of the top goalies in the league. And, you know, there's still, you know, maybe a defenseman and a couple forwards away from you know, getting to that to where they need to be. Basically, they need what Moncton got at the trade period last year. Like, they need
a two-way forward,
a stud defenseman. They need two stud forwards, and a depth forward, and maybe an extra defenseman. Like, literally, what Moncton did is what Charlottetown needs to do. And if they do that, I think they have everything a team needs to win a championship. And I guess on that topic, my hot take of the week, the 2021 President's Cup champions, the Charlottetown Islanders.
Oh, all right. I guess I didn't think. Yeah, there it is. Hot take. That is quite the hot take. I do like
that. That's in the same category as the Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because I mean, they're kind of in a weird time. I mean, they made the semifinal 2 years ago with a young roster that, you know, wasn't expected to do a whole lot. you know, kind of the underdog. Then they had the first round exit last year. It just, like you said, it feels like their go for a year. They brought in Colton Ellis, and they paid a hefty price for him. A third in 2020 and a first and a second in 2021. So, you know, if they're doing what Moncton's doing, they're looking to move 2022s, 2023s, firsts and seconds. I mean, they shipped out Liam Payton. Obviously, he was one of the 20-year-olds, and they had three. They came out, kind of announced their three, and then they went and got Colton Ellis, and it was, yeah, you're moving one of the three now because, you know, we had Mike Sanderson and on the show last week. We talked about there wasn't really a team. Obviously, you're all in on the Islanders. Their back end is their strength, I think. But who's going to score for this team?
Score by committee.
Yeah.
Brett Budgell, Thomas Casey, Lucas Cormier is going to be good for a couple goals. This team's going to score. They have what it takes to score. You know, their D is going to be their strong point. And
because you're looking at a six of Cormier, Tremblay, Plandowski, Lau, and Hamill, and Trudeau.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, they're a stud defenseman away from being in that same group, maybe a second defenseman away from being in that group. Yeah, Brett Budgell's going to score. Their two Euros are you know, these are good Euros, right? They got DiRizzo, they got you know, this team's going to score. But they're going to score. It's going to be a lot of depth scoring. But they're going to need to make some moves. You know, I think Jim Holton's going to get this team where they need to be. He's a pretty respectable guy around the league. Again, I'm the one that said he wouldn't have a job. So he's still here. I think he wants to. Obviously, I think he listens.
He stuck it to you by getting Ellis.
He clearly listens to the show and wants to prove me wrong. And that's why I'm. That's why I have my hot take. That's why I think the Islanders are finally going to win their first championship in franchise history. They're going to hashtag protect the bridge.
I like it. We were on 2 years ago at the draft. It was the least kept secret that Jacob Gooby was going to be the Islanders' pick. He played fairly well last year in sheltered minutes. Obviously, you're going to ride Matt Welsh. 60 games. You know, you have a chance to get Colton Ellis. You're getting Colton Ellis. He's the goaltender for the future. So there's no thought that they're bringing in a veteran backup. You know, what do we expect from him? Like, is he going to get a lion's share of the starts, or is it a 40-20 with Ellis in the 60 games? Like,
I think you'll see him.
You know, you don't want to say this hurts his development, but I mean, cause he's learning from Welsh and he's learning from Ellis back to back, but he's probably not going to play a lot of the games. No,
you probably see him, you know, once every three or four, just to get him the experience. I mean, it is, this, you know, 2021 will be his NHL draft year, so you'll want to get him exposed to the scouts as much as possible. But yeah, Colton Ellis is going to be obviously the number one guy there. But I mean, you want two goalies to look up to. I mean, no better than Matt Welsh and Colton Ellis. So I think Jacob Gooby will. I love that last name. I think he's probably going to, 60 game season, I'd probably pay 20 games is my guess. And you know what, if they happen to, you know, if injuries happen, right. So if injuries happen, then they're going to have a decision to make, because, you know, Colton Ellis is going to be the guy that's going to start game one of the playoffs. And he's going to start every game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you need to get Jacob Gooby fresh, or at least some playing time, because, you know, once playoff rolls around, I don't think he's going to get much. Maybe he's someone that they, you know, dangle as a, cause you know, he's, I think he's got the potential to be a pretty good goalie in this league, and maybe someone that they, you know, dangle at the deadline, to go and get, you know, some a depth backup, who knows really. This is just me, you know, blabbing right now, but I think they're pretty set in Nets. I mean, on the back end, I mean, Lucas Cormier, Noah Lowen, Oscar Plandowski, you know, those are four solid, those are three solid guys. And, you know, Trudeau and you know, Ryan Maynard, I think is going to be one an underrated, kind of like a Tristan Dion kind of app, like a free agent for Charlottetown. So yeah. That's a player that, that fans are going to enjoy. And, Anthony Hamel hits, you know, as hard as any player in this league. So, I think they're set. I think they are a stud defenseman away from being in that, that upper echelon.
They kind of mirror us in net and in the back end.
That's what I mean.
Last year, right? Yeah. Like they got their stud goaltender. They got their backup. I mean, we had Lavallee here, but we eventually got DLC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got Cormier, who's like Spence. They've got Hamill, who hits like Stewart. They were, you know, we were a stud defenseman away. We got McIsaac, and we were like 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a stud defenseman away. Obviously, we had a little bit more scoring than they do, but I mean, Zach Beauregard, he's the heart of that team. Like, he'll do anything, kind of like a Jacob Hudson will. So, I mean, this team, I don't hate your hot take. I'm not bold enough to get there, but I don't hate your hot take.
I think if they went a little older with their Euros, I would say the fact that they went with 2-0-3s for their Euros, kind of, you know,
are they teammates?
I don't know if they're teammates or not.
Well, they're from the same town, so I just thought
they?
Yeah.
Oh, they must know each other then.
Jacob Brabenick and Matthias Mintzik.
Yeah, clearly they know each other.
Yeah.
so if they would have went a little older with their Euros, I would say okay, they're definitely all in. So it kind of, it's like a teeter totter. They went and got one of the best goalies in the league, but then they went and got, you know, two of the youngest Euros you can get. Because I mean, if you look at Brabenick, he's born in September, and where's the other one? Mensik, July. That's not so bad, but still, these are going to be 17-year-olds. So usually if you were going to go all in, you'd go and get two 19-year-old Euros who have experience playing in men's league.
Or get one.
Kind of like an Axel
cough.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a teeter-totter. Maybe
or acquire
they're
a Kotkov, like St. John did, right?
Yeah. So it's obviously these guys are going to be here. They've already signed. So, hey, maybe they're better than I expect them to be, and they're going to perform as if they were veterans, right? And but I really like this team. I like the way they're built. I like their coaching. I think their coaching is, you know, St. John's got, you know, an NHL, you know, experience back there, but I think Jim Halton's just a, you know, I'll eat my words and say he's one of the best coaches in the league.
He's been a class of the coach. Like, yeah. Everybody knows what a Jim Holt team is. Everybody yeah. respects him. Not only GMs around the league, but all the players that play for him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our take on the Islanders and what we think is going to happen this season. But again, like we've done for the past 3 weeks, you don't want to just hear us talk about it. We want to bring people on from the other teams. And tonight we are pleased to be joined on the line by Charlottetown product and forward for your Islanders, Thomas Casey. Thomas, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks a lot for having me out, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
So I guess the first question, how's camp been so far for you in what's been a weird year for sure?
It's been quite the year for sure. I mean, I think we're all happy to be around the rink. And, you know, it's a different, it's a new normal for sure. We're wearing masks in the dressing room at all times and around the facility. But, I mean, we're getting pretty used to it now. And now that our team's picked, we're kind of preparing for the season. And we've had one exhibition game with kind of our main group. And then it was fun. It was a high-scoring game against Bathurst. And, you know, that's kind of something that Jim wasn't too used to. We're usually a low-scoring team with that doesn't give up a lot of goals. And it was kind of funny. But, I mean, we're definitely not going to be known to have 9-6 games this year. So, I don't think people should expect much of that, but no, it's been awesome to be back around the rink and around the staff. We've been having a lot of fun, and I think everyone's smiling to be back, and it's a positive to take 2020 because it's been quite the year for sure.
Just want to talk a little bit about you going up as a hockey player. You're not the only Islander to do this, but you went out and you went out to Saskatchewan and played for Notre Dame. Was that was all part of the Devin Pratt recruiting process?
Yeah, no, him, Prodder, Chris McDonald, he coached out there, and then he coached in Bathurst, and now he's at university at Acadia. So, but I had kids that were older than me, and they really loved it, like Jeremy McKenna, who you guys would know really well, and then Carson McKinnon.
Never heard of Jeremy McKenna.
Those are two guys that I played against growing up, and, you know, they really had nothing but positives to say, and along with another group of Islanders that I grew up with too. So when you hear from people that you grew up with how much fun they're having and how they're getting that much better at hockey, you really want to get into it. And, you know, looking back now, I think that's kind of the best decision I've ever made, was going out to Saskatchewan. It's a little town, like in the middle of nowhere, like 40 minutes from Regina. So it's like this mini town, and, you know, our two main focuses are hockey and school. So, I mean, it was quite the experience to be a part of, and I'm thankful for everything I learned from Wilcox and Notre Dame. It was a lot of fun.
So not very many people can kind of be the same as you. You know, you're from Charlottetown, you're drafted by the Islanders, and, you know, you're, believe it or not, going in, believe it or not, you're going into your fourth year. Just in a few words or sentences, what's the past 4 years been like for you?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, my rookie year, we kind of had this mantra, like, everyone thought we were going to be a last place team. And then my first year, I got to experience a league semifinal, game 7. And we were really one win away from playing Bathurst, who we kind of had beat all year in the regular season. So it was crazy to get that experience. And I learned from a lot of good veterans. And, you know, one word to probably describe it is surreal. Like, it's crazy. I'm in my fourth year now, and looking back, I was just like this little scrawny kid that's 17 years old playing against men. And now I'm kind of one of those older guys that 16 year olds look up to and are like, wow, he's 20. Like, he's 4 years older than me. So it's kind of crazy to look back and know that I was in their shoes at one point, but it's been a lot of fun. Junior hockey, you learn so much off the ice, on the ice, and you make friends for life. So Charlottetown has been a treat to play for sure.
So we mentioned, Jeremy asked, you know, coming into your fourth season, you played the last three with Matt Welsh, and we've talked about it a couple times in the show. He's Mr. Charlottetown Islander. Just talk about what it meant playing with him the past 3 years, and just what he meant to the team and the city and whatnot.
Yeah, it was amazing too. The past couple of years, I grew good buddies with Welshy as I got a bit older. And, you know, I don't think people really realize, because, like, we saw it every night, how good of a goalie that guy was. Like, I mean, you guys would know because you were in the division, but I don't think people really realize, like, how many games he stole for the Islanders throughout his career. It was pretty crazy to be a part of, and the amount of 10 bell saves that he made on the ice. But, I mean, even off the ice, it was crazy to see the impact he had on the community, whether it was Hockey Gives Blood or Hockey Fights Cancer Night. He was always kind of looking to do the extra. And, I mean, I think that's something that we all looked up to. And the Islanders are a big part of our community. So he really exemplified that well. And I think we're all going to try and follow in his footsteps now that he's not here. But he left his mark. And I think Colton's got some big shoes to fill, but he's a good goalie, and same with Gooby, so they'll be up for the challenge for sure.
I think I can speak for a lot of Maritime Division fans when we say, you know, we were excited to see Matt Welsh, you know, graduate from the league.
Absolutely.
But then you guys go ahead and acquire Colton Ellis at the draft. What was when you first heard about it, how'd you react to that?
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I think like, it kind of came out of nowhere. We were like, oh, Gooby's 17. He progressed well in the 16 year. Like, he's probably gonna be our starter, and then we'll see whoever we end up as a backup or if we trade for a veteran. And then comes out of nowhere that we got Colton, and we're like, holy, like, this guy's the real deal. He's drafted by St. Louis. Like, this is pretty awesome. So, I mean, we're really lucky to have him. I shot him a message right away on Instagram, and he's a good Cape Breton boy. So he's been fun to have around the dressing room, and we've gone golfing, and we've done lots of fun stuff together as a team. So it's been awesome having him around, and I think he really fits the Islanders mold well with how he can represent himself in the community and off the ice.
So I put it out on Twitter when we found out we were having you on the show yesterday, and it's tough for a Wildcats style Twitter account to get a lot of questions from Islanders, but our good buddy, Jake Murphy, you know him as Hockey Hat Guy, he did have a question for you. He asked, during your Isles career, which player did you enjoy playing with the most?
Probably P.O. Josa. He, P.O. was a treat to be around. I mean, he was our captain, and he's one of, like, the first rounder of the NHL, but you wouldn't even know that. Like, he was the most down-to-earth person that I've ever met, and, like, he helped carry us to, like, a league semifinal when, like I said, we were written to be last in the league, and it was crazy to have someone like that lead the charge along with our veteran group. And off the ice, he was such a good guy. Like, he was so funny. And, you know, junior hockey, there's this rule or whatever that people say, like, rookies are treated differently. But I mean, I think times are changing, and P.O. was such a big part of that. Like, he treated everyone so fairly, and I was only 17, and he treated me real well. And I mean, he was only a year older, but it felt like he was 20. Like, it was crazy, the presence that he brought. So I was sad to see him go to Drummondville, but it was cool to see him kind of chase a championship down, and it was awesome to have him around for sure.
I think a lot of people are, you know, I think they'd say the consensus top two teams in the Maritime Division will be, you know, yourselves and St. John. Obviously, in your final year in the queue, it's I don't know how much pull you have when it comes to the trade period here, but I think the obvious answer would be what do you want out of the last your last regular season in the queue?
I think every person in their queue career wants to win, and I got a taste of it. I mean, I wasn't a huge part of the success when I was 17. I played a player role, but I kind of saw what it took when we went to the league semifinal. And, you know, me and Brett Budgell's back this year as well. I think we're so hungry to get to that point, and we've got a really good goalie. And I mean, our seven defense are very fun to play with. It's like having two extra forwards out there, D-Cor. So we're looking forward to the year, and, you know, you never know what can happen at Christmas. Like, hockey's so crazy, it could go one way or the other. So I mean, we're going to try and put ourselves in the best position possible going into the Christmas trade period, like Moncton did last year and then games in the past. So we're going to work our hardest to be near the top of the standings and give Jim some tough decisions. So we're really looking forward to getting the ball rolling and getting the season going.
Well, if you have any poll, just make sure you listen to the show and gets the answer from you. But just to piggyback off that, I mean, obviously last year Moncton acquired Rodrigue, and that was kind of the sense to go for it. You guys acquired Ellis. There's kind of that sense on the island, I guess. Just to piggyback off Jeremy's question, personally, what goals do you have set for yourself as a player coming into your 20-year-old year?
I think when you get to 20 years old, you know, you don't really think about numbers too much. Like, you're to the point where, like, oh, okay, it's your fourth year in the league. Like, basically, let's do whatever I can to contribute to get wins. So, I mean, as a team, obviously we know the Maritimes is wide open this year, so we'd like to finish, and personally I would like to help contribute to finishing at the top of the Maritimes. I mean, St. John's got a good team, Cape Breton has some real good players as well, and then Moncton's got some good players too. So I mean, and Halifax as well, you look, they've got Larue and Desnoyers. So, like, it's really wide open. And I think a goal for myself would just be helping contribute every night as an older guy. And I don't think putting numbers to that, like, I don't like to do that too much. Like, I'd rather just focus on getting wins, and then we'll see what happens come Christmas. Hopefully we can go for it.
We don't want to keep it much longer, but figured we'd finish up with a bit of a trick question here. You're from the island, so where do you go on PEI to find the best breakfast?
The best breakfast. I would say Granville Street.
Yeah. Hey.
So, If you're in the Summerside area, I would say Granville Street Diner for sure. And I mean, I got to give a plug to the McKenna's. And then in town, I would say Casamia. It's a really good spot as well. So.
There you go. That was a trick question. Like you nailed it. You nailed it. So
depends what part of the island you're on, but Granville's worth the drive for sure.
Hey man, we really want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us about your upcoming season, kind of looking back as well. So hope you have all the success. Not as much against the Wildcats, but against the rest of the division. We hope you have a lot of success, obviously, and we're kind of rooting for you guys this year.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you around the rink.
All right.
Sure. Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. Take care, buddy.
Hey, see you. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
That's a guy that's going to be counted on big time this year. He's one of the guys via committee, but, I mean, you look at his stats, you know, 8 goals in his first season, 12 in his next, 26. He's just increasing. He's maybe a guy that gets to 40. If you go on average.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the only C on his jersey is not going to be his last name, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's captain.
Is that another hot take?
Oh, I think it's captain material, right? Yeah. Local guy.
It was him or Beauregard.
Oh, man, I got to go. I think Beauregard is a year younger.
Or Cormier, I guess. Those are, but I don't.
I think he put the C on Thomas Casey. I think he had the A last year. Pretty sure he had the A last year, but yeah, I think he's captain material. He's someone that's, you know, like I said, my hot take, he's someone that's going to go to center ice and lift the President's Cup. So, we'll
no pressure.
Yeah. That's my another hot take here.
You're getting good at these hot take things, man.
Well, you know, ever since I had so much success with the Cleveland Browns, I'm just going to go with, it's instead of the stick tap of the week, it's going to be the hot take of the week. So
we'll have to check with our sponsor on that one. But man, hopefully your hot take. I guess if you say hot take, it's not like a prediction because we're not very good at predictions. So maybe you'll be better at hot takes because we don't need two fan bases being mad at us. Our own and the island. We don't need island people getting mad at us. But yeah, that'll do it for this week. So again, a big thank you to Thomas Casey for taking the time to join us tonight to preview his season and kind of look back on his time with the Islanders. We're going to be back 2 weeks away from, 3 weeks away from the season. We got two more teams left next week. It's the Cape Breton Eagles. You know, we've seen them twice. They'll be fresh in our mind. Maybe we'll have friend of the show, Pat McNeil, on to give us a lowdown on what that team will look like. But that's it for us. We'll have a game to recap as the Cats take on the Teton.
Saturday, 4 p.m.
Saturday, 4 p.m. live on the Wildcats YouTube. Thanks for the support. Enjoy the games. See you next Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.